The Braves Radio Network channel on the Podcast Park is brought to you by Truist Bank. When you start with care, you get a different kind of bank.
Hey, welcome to Braves Country.
On today's episode of the Braves Country podcast, we welcome a Braves fan who is one of the most talented and prolific songwriters in country music today. Brent Cobb was born in Americus, Georgia and raised in Ellaville, Georgia, and he's the real deal. From Grammy nominations to touring with Chris Stapleton to writing songs recorded by the likes of Little Big Town, Luke Combs, Miranda Lambert, Kenny Chesney, Luke Bryan, and the Oak Ridge Boys. And he has a brand new Southern Gospel record out now called And Now Let's Turn the Page that is simply phenomenal. And he's playing Alpharetta, Georgia this Saturday, June 18th at Ameris Bank Amphitheater with, is it Maren Morris?
It is Maren Morris. Yep. She's incredible.
And so it's the perfect time to welcome Mr. Brent Cobb to the Braves Country Podcast. Thanks for joining us, Brent.
Thank you all very much for having me.
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast. Braves Country also sponsored by Smith's Old Bar, best live music venue in Atlanta since 1994, located in the heart of Midtown at 1578 Piedmont Avenue. Smith's Old Bar is a neighborhood joint for everyone. Check out smithsoldbar.com for the current concert calendar and tickets. See y'all at Smith's.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
It's such a pleasure to get to talk to you. You and I seem to be on the same page when it comes to being from Georgia and just loving the Braves and loving music. And I don't know, man. When you sing and when you speak, it talks directly to me. It's like it was written for me. You know, I was born and raised up in Northwest Georgia. It's the same thing up there as it is down south. It's just regular folks. They work hard and they go home. That's right. And they love America and they love Georgia. And they just love who they are and they're proud of who they are.
Absolutely, yeah. There's not a whole lot going on where I'm from, but there's a whole lot of love, you know, and it's so neat to be on this right now because my grandpa, you know, if there ain't nothing going on, we'd be sitting out in the backyard, and he'd always have the Braves on coming out of his old Chevrolet truck, you know, old Chevrolet pickup truck stereo system, and so sitting out there under a pecan tree, and that's the kind of stuff that I'm into. That's the kind of stuff I write about, you know, and there's a lot of that that's still going on in this world, whether you can believe it or not.
That's right. Yeah, well, so, turn off the news and turn on the Braves. That'd be the best idea.
Come on, that's what I'm talking about. Is that a slogan?
Yeah, it ain't, but we need to put it on a T-shirt.
You just wrote it.
Yeah, I know. Are we co-writing a song right now?
Let me tell you, we can get started right away.
It's great to be on the Braves Radio Network because I, too, listened to the Braves as a kid on the radio, and I really think it's an American art form, much like country music. And I really love the radio side of it. I watch the game on TV, too, but I know you're a radio guy when you're driving around out there, aren't you?
Absolutely. Well, you know, the radio for me was always, I talk about this a lot, and it's hard to kind of, it's hard to articulate it perfectly, but there was something about the feeling of lonesomeness, but in a loneliness in a good way, being lonesome. The only connection when I was a kid growing up to the rest of the world was the radio. And so whether that be sitting in my daddy's shop and listening to Rick Jackson's country classics,
yes, sir.
You know, or you ever listen to that?
Of course.
Every Sunday, you know, he'd have a theme that would be like, here's the theme is cheating, you know, or yeah. Now here's murder ballads or whatever, you know. He'd have a theme every Sunday, and me and Daddy would sit out there every Sunday and listen to that, or whether it be listening to the Braves. But that was the only time, you know, before the internet and stuff, that we, even when the internet took off, we didn't have the internet, and so that was the only connection to the rest of the world, really. But we're sitting there alone, you know, in the shop in the middle of rural Georgia, And I don't know, like you just said, there's just something real special about that. It's something that's classically American somehow.
Yes, sir. Talking to Brent Cobb here on the Braves Country Podcast, and you nailed it. It is classic American. It's almost like reading a book, and I've used this example a few times. When you read a book, you build that picture of what's happening in that book, unlike when you watch a movie and it paints the picture for you. And that's why when you read the book, the movie ain't nearly as good as the book was.
Read a book. Come on now, Tom.
Yeah, well, when you know, once in a while, when you get real, real bored, you know, radio does the same thing.
It's the same thing. It lets your own mind naturally wander. And there's something to that. Granddaddy didn't call it, he didn't call it meditation when he was sitting out there looking at a cornfield. Mm-hmm. But that's what he's doing. We'd sit out there for hours and just look at the cornfield and listen to the radio. That's good for you. You know, I know a lot of folks doing that right now. You know, and it's just good to know that. I just wrote a song called "Where'd All the Regular Old Country Folks Go," and it's about that kind of stuff. I know where I'm from, we still do it. And so I know there's a lot of folks listening today that are still doing that. It's important, you know. I try to pass it down to my kids as well.
Are you keeping up with the Braves this season pretty closely? What do you think about this extended winning streak that they're on right now?
I mean, Lord, come on, man. There was a minute that was, I don't ever lose faith. But there was a moment, and now here we go, man. I mean, we didn't want a bunch of them.
And, you know, the record, I think, for the Braves in Atlanta is 15. For the league, it's 22. And I think looking at the teams we got coming up on the schedule and the way we're playing, we might have a shot at that. Of course, Ozzy going down, it's not going to
help.
That's
going to be problematic.
I know, man. It almost feels like 95 again a little bit, the last season and this season. In 95, you know, I was a household divided now down there. My mother's from Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh.
So that was the Indians.
Yeah.
And my mom and my uncle went up and went to the World Series, watched it. And I didn't know what to do. I was split, man. My split between my mom and dad.
Wow.
I just had to. But this this team just feels like that, you know. It just feels, man, it's just the Braves are on fire, you know.
Yeah.
It's a good time to be any kind of Georgia sports fan.
Heck yeah. Now, are you a Bulldogs fan too?
I am, yes.
Go How about dogs, them baby. Dogs?
Yeah.
That's right.
Who's your favorite Georgia Bulldog of all time, and who's your favorite Brave player of all time?
I always loved Andrew Jones with the Braves. I called him Smiley. Maybe everybody called him Smiley, but that joker always looked so happy to get up there.
He did.
And knock one out the park. I don't know, Bulldog. I don't even know, man. There's a guy from America's Georgia. And my name, my mind's going blank right now because I'm riding around looking for some service. So forgive me if I can't think well. I'm trying not to.
Well, you know, with the dogs, it's more like a team thing. You know, everybody just loves the dogs. It don't matter. You know, and we love the tomahawk too. Whoever wears the tomahawk, but you know, we don't really get into the individuals when it comes to the Bulldogs, except for Mr. Buck Ballou, who's walking around here somewhere.
Yeah,
you
know, he's quarterback of that 80 national championship team. But going back to the players from America's, I mean, there was Leonard Pope that was the tight end, and then Tyler Clark more recently, both of them from America's.
Yeah, it's a Pope. And when I was around college age, that was where everybody was just on fire about that guy, you know?
Yeah, he was something else, still doing good stuff in the NFL for sure.
Absolutely.
Now, Brent Cobb, you are burning up the road this summer. It looks like you're out on the Humble Quest Tour with Maren Morris, stopping this Saturday at Ameris Bank Amphitheater in Atlanta,
Alpharetta, that's where I live.
And then it just keeps on rolling. It looks like you'll be out all summer. And you've told me, and I don't think it's a secret, that you're not really a fan of touring. So I wonder, you know, how's the road treating you out there?
It ain't too bad when you're out on tour with somebody like Maren Morris and you're playing these amphitheaters, you know, or like we did three years with Chris Stapleton.
Yeah.
2017, 2018, 2019, and those tours are not so bad, you know.
I guess not.
You know, the road is the road. It's just a necessary part of it all. And for whatever reason, all I ever wanted to be was a songwriter. For whatever reason, they've all gone hand in hand. I've had to make my own albums, and it has pushed my writing career as a writer for other people. I tell a joke at a lot of my shows that it's taken me about 16 years to get to the bottom, and I'm just glad to be here.
And, I love
and
it.
That's
I love
exactly
it.
How it feels.
I love it. I want to tell you, you've given the world something real important with that new Southern Gospel record that you put out. And now let's turn the page. And let me tell you, I listened to it last night, listened to it from beginning to end. And I said I wasn't going to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. I listened to Old Rugged Cross, man. My eyes all watered up. And it was just one of those when it hits you the way it's supposed to. And you know it's something deeper than just Brent Cobb singing. There's more to what's happening.
Yes, sir. That's I wanted to make a Southern Gospel album since I picked up a guitar. But I grew up going to a little bitty country church in Webster County called Antioch Baptist Church. And that's, you know, my granddaddy led the singing. And then when he stopped leading the singing, my daddy leads the singing to this day. And it's just mostly family, congregation, you know, no more than about 30 folks that go to that church. And that's on a real good Sunday. That's usually a homecoming. We got dinner on the grounds.
Right.
Yeah, the Old Rugged Cross, I appreciate that. That song is probably I'm most connected to that song of all the old Southern Baptist hymns. Mm. And I'll tell a mystical story about it. I don't want to go too out there, but my grandpa's mom, that was her favorite. My great-grandma, that was her favorite gospel song, the Old Rugged Cross. Mm. And the week he was supposed to get married, he had a dream. And in this dream, he's walking, and it's a funeral. He walks up to the casket, and it's himself in the casket. And so he wakes up, and he tells his mother about this dream. And she says, well, baby, that means that someone close to you is going to pass away soon. And that week, she passed away, the week that he got married. Oh. And when the night that she passed away, all of his siblings woke up singing the Old Rugged Cross.
Wow.
They didn't know about this until the next day when they found out they had lost their mother. Wow. Well, fast forward to April 2012, April 4th was when my granddaddy passed away. And at his funeral, he wanted the Old Rugged Cross played because it was his favorite gospel song. And there was a hymnal sitting up on the piano. Me and my cousin were sitting on the front pew beside the piano, and the guest singer that was going to sing the Old Rugged Cross, before he got up there, every so often the fan would turn a page on that hymnal book, and we were watching it. And right before he sat down, that hymnal book, the page landed on the Old Rugged Cross.
Oh, my Lord.
So when he sat down, he didn't even have to flip the page. He just sat down and started playing.
Goodness.
And so that song is very near and dear to my soul, you know. And so I appreciate that you're feeling that, you know.
Man,
there's definitely
real.
A little more emotion in that,
yeah.
A little more spirit in that one.
It's real. You can hear it.
The emotion of that experience comes through in the recording, and it's amazing that you're bringing your family history forward like this. And I know that members of your family were deeply involved in the recording. Tell us who all's on the record with you and how all that came together.
Well, first, it was produced by my cousin, Dave Cobb. Dave Cobb is now a superstar producer. He produces Chris Stapleton and a ton of folks, man. Randy Carlisle, Sturgill Simpson, the list goes on and on. Shooter Jennings. We met in 2006 for the first time. We didn't grow up together, but anyway, we've worked together over the years. And so when I got ready to make a Southern Gospel album, I knew it would only be appropriate to have him be the one to do it. He grew up in Savannah, and he grew up Pentecostal, but he would come to Richland, Georgia, and visit his grandparents. And and as a matter of fact, his grandma, my great aunt Christine, when she passed away, I was a pallbearer in her funeral, and I was 17, 18, and so when he came down for that, that's how we met. But she would used to come to our church, and she would do the guest singing, and she would do We Shall Rise, mm-hmm. which was the first song I knew that Dave and I were going to record for this Southern Gospel album. Now, we did it a little more Southern rock style.
Right, that's all right.
Great Aunt Christine, when she would she would do it with the same amount of fire now. She would have her clogs on, and she'd be stomping her clogs and singing a cappella to the top of her lungs. But so anyway, Dave and I got on that, and we recorded that song, and then I wrote one of the songs. The only original on there is a song called When It's My Time. Mm-hmm. I wrote with my wife. And then, of course, I had my dad and my mom and my sister come and sing on Blessed Be the Ties, the mm-hmm. Bind, which is how the album ends.
Mm-hmm.
That was that's how we end each church service at our church. We all hold hands and we sing that
wow.
song. And so I wanted to capture that with my family. And then I also had my dad's little gospel trio sing the harmonies on the Old Rugged Cross and on Old Country Church. It's a family affair, you know.
I love it. There's just so much beauty in the way you're describing this and the way you describe growing up. And we talk about faith on the show all the time, Andrew, because that's where I find my identity, you know, and a lot of people find it in work, and I don't find it in work very much. Find it in my faith and in my wife and my son, because those are the two people I care about more than anybody else in the world. And I just feel like that right now the world could use some gospel music.
Well, I share the same humble opinion. But I'll say this, too. I wanted to make the album for folks that may not even be into religious music, you know. Mm-hmm. If you're just a believer in music,
yeah.
I wanted to make this album for you as well, you know, that all music that we do here, all music comes from gospel music.
Yes, sir.
And so I constantly, where there are a lot of folks that, the further along they go in their musical journey, sometimes they kind of want to branch out and do something that maybe isn't a part of their foundation or their root system. But I've always strived with each album to dig deeper into the root of what it is that I do and where it comes from. And so this album is no different.
I got to tell you that I think you've done it. You've made it where it's just a great listen. It's a great album. And it's really, you know, outside of it being the subject matter that it is and that history you just laid out with your family and all that, it's really kind of almost a Southern rock record, a country Southern rock gospel record, you know. And I've got to tell you, I love track number 7 that you mentioned earlier, We Shall Rise. It's perfectly placed as the apex of the record, and it's such a soulful Southern gospel blaster, and it's a song that could fit right in with any of your live shows. And I wonder, do you play that song on tour?
Well, we did on that gospel tour, and then for this tour, I put a little bit of a different band together, and so we have a different set list, but now that we've got 1 weekend of the Maren Morris tour under our belt, I will start changing the set list up on the old boys,
yeah.
Start adding some songs, you know, but yeah, so we will be doing We Shall Rise. Man, I like it too. It's crazy, that song. When I got ready to do a gospel album, my management said, you know, I think it's a good idea. I don't know exactly what we're going to do with it. And I said, well, we'll let it fit. It'll guide itself, I believe.
Right.
And so that song, We Shall Rise, somehow the radio team chose it to just kind of push to, you know, AAA radio stations. And, man, it did really well on the Americana charts. It got up to number 9 or 10 or so. On the Americana radio charts, and you know, and that's not gospel music radio.
No kidding.
So, well, and then Ram also used it in a little campaign, commercial campaign they had from January to March, I believe. And you know, it's like I said, it's music for folks, whether you're spiritual or not. But of course, for me, it is.
It really is. It's for everybody, and it's amazing. And I guess I picked the single again, Tug, on this one.
There you go.
But I tell you what, I think the Atlanta Falcons should blast that thing over
come
at the
on,
stadium.
Rise up.
You know, I mean, it kind of goes with their thing too. You know, come on,
rise up.
Everybody, that's it. Right,
Arthur,
there.
Arthur Blank, if you're listening, let's get
come
into
on.
This. We
let's
shall
get this
rise
fixed.
Thing. But yeah, it's
yeah,
great.
That,
it's
that
great.
That song will fire you up now.
Yeah, well, good. Disgraces yeah. The whole thing. Well, man, we're talking about your cousin Dave a little bit earlier. He produced your Grammy nominated Shine on a Rainy Day that made it to 17 on the Billboard charts and the country albums charts. So that's a lot of positivity in one place. You got this new gospel record that you can just feel the vibe on it. That's the thing that I like to see, is that artists, when kind of the worlds come together a little bit, whether it's how you're raised or how you see it now, and, you know, bringing the family element in there. This has to be, I don't know if it's your most special record, but it's got to be one of those that's got to be right up there.
The Shine on Rainy Day album.
That well, one, but then this
but,
one too.
But this one, this new one too, yeah. I mean, I actually was talking about the one that got Grammy nominated, but this one too.
Yeah, well, you know, all I have ever wanted to do when I finally understood that, all right, I can make a living making music, is I've just always ever wanted to keep my lights on. And so I've been able to do that for almost 20 years now. And it's I had toured for about 5 years. Until my daughter was born in 2014. And then I stopped touring for a couple of years, and I was just going to write, focus on writing for other people. And I was able to make a good living still, and I still do writing for other people, you know. And Luke Bryan, he recorded a couple songs that we've written together and that I wrote by myself. And Miranda Lambert and a bunch of folks. But what was wild is So after my daughter was born, Dave calls a couple years later, and he goes, hey, man, I'm putting together this concept album. It's called Southern Family. And I thought it'd only be appropriate for me to have my little punk cousin be a part of it. and so Dave and I had not worked in that capacity. I had written with some folks that he had been producing, but we had not worked as producer artists together since that first album in 2006, the No Place Left to Leave album. And so when I get in the studio, I record a song called Down Home for that compilation album, and it's a project that has multiple artists on it. Chris Stapleton is on there, Miranda, and a bunch of folks, Zach Brown.
That's
and,
right.
And so, but when we got in the studio, we knew immediately that, man, we need to make another album together. And I already had a pile of songs, and so we made that became Shine On Rainy Day, and that was the first album that I did that after I had become a dad. And so that album was. And each album since has that album started. It was for to if something were to happen to me and I wasn't around anymore. Here's who your daddy was to my daughter. You know, here's who I am. This is where I'm from. And then each album has been that way. Keep them on their toes. Or Providence Canyon was here's some stories about the characters in your daddy's life. And then keep them on their toes is well here's what your daddy thinks about. And then this gospel album is here's what your daddy believes in.
Yeah.
And that's just the way each album has been for me. And for some reason, thankfully, folks are interested enough to want to come out to the shows and listen to it, you know.
I would ask you only one question. Do people outside of the Southeast know what keeping your lights on means? This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today. 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast. Braves Country also sponsored by Smith's Old Bar, best live music venue in Atlanta since 1994, located in the heart of Midtown at 1578 Piedmont Avenue. Smith's Old Bar is a neighborhood joint for everyone. Check out smithsoldbar.com for the current concert calendar and tickets. See y'all at Smith's.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
I would ask you only one question. Do people outside of the Southeast know what keeping your lights on means?
Well, I'm just trying to pay the power bill.
I know. But down south, we always say that, man. I got to make enough to keep lights on. Like, that is something my mom and daddy used to say, too. So outside of – and my wife's from New York. She had to learn some of the lingo.
Hey, boy, somebody's got to keep the lights on.
That's
around
exactly
here,
right. That's exactly right. It's so spot on. That's what I said. Outside of the Southeast, they might not know what that means.
Now they know.
Right. And fixing twos. Another one.
Yeah, man. That's what I was telling my daughter. She came up with me a couple weeks ago, and she's out, you know, out of school for summer break. And so I brought her up here to Nashville with me to go to rehearsals and just hang out with me. Daddy-daughter work week. And then she rode to Texas with us 12 hours to Dallas in the Sprinter van. And she's eight, or will be eight in a couple months. And she did really good. She's a road pup. She'll be a road dog soon. But she had her Nintendo Switch, which she didn't play the whole trip, but I brought it just in case she got a little bored. But I was telling her, baby, you have no idea. Back when I was a kid, we weren't happy to bring a Switch with us on a trip.
Uh-uh. That's a bad day.
Speaking of fixing, fixing to go pick you a Peachtree Switch.
That's right. What was told absolutely. Me, you know? That's bad news.
It was not a good thing, and she just could not wrap her mind around it. But why you call it a Switch? I don't know why we call it a Switch, baby. I just know I didn't want to go pick one.
Because that's what Grandma told me to go get a couple times.
Yeah,
and
right.
And yes, I always brought back a little old bitty one, and she's like, uh-uh, you go pick another one.
Yeah. Well, see, that I was just talking to somebody about this. Yeah, you would try to get the little thin one, but you always messed up if you did that, because then that thing would wrap around your leg and you're like a whip.
That's exactly right.
We're talking with Brent Cobb here on the Braves Country Podcast. And, Brent, our mutual friend D-Rock down on the Bear, Mr. Dustin Fordham down in Thomaston, Georgia. Yeah, Thomaston, Georgia's best. He was telling me that your dad had a country band called Slaughter Creek back in the day, and that when when you were young, they opened for George Jones quite a bit. But then ended that. I guess your dad ended that to be home as a father. That he wrote a song called Country Bound that he used to play with that band, and that you played that song with your dad on stage at a very special moment in your career. Is all that true? Would you tell the rest of that story?
Yeah. Well, I'll start it sort of at the beginning. I'll make it as quick as I can. But so yeah, 92, Daddy opened for George Jones and Chubby Checker, and from in the late 80s through the mid 90s, he had that band. Slaughter Creek was the creek that I grew up on the backside of my grandparents' property. Anyway, well, one of the people that he opened for during that time was Doug Stone, and awesome. Doug Stone's mom loved my dad and forced her son Doug to listen to it, and so Doug listened, and he flew my dad to Nashville in 92, and Doug took him around the Giant Records and all these different agencies. And I can remember, I grew up in a single wide trailer, and I can remember listening to my parents talk in the kitchen, around the kitchen table, about, okay, well, if you go on the road and tour, you're going to be gone this amount. And you know, those single wide walls are thin. And anyhow, so Daddy decided not to do it because I was seven, my sister was three, and he still played music on the weekends in order as a secondary income to keep our lights on. And well, and around that same time, we went up to Cleveland, where my mom was from, and it was the first time I ever saw snow, which is probably why I can remember this so well. But my dad and my mama's brother, my Uncle Brian, wrote this song, Country Bound, and it was about my uncle wanting to get out of the big city of Cleveland, Ohio, and move down south to South Georgia, rural Georgia. He wanted to get out of the city and go to the woods. So I always loved that song, and it was the first song I ever witnessed being wrote. So when my opportunity came in 2017 to make my Grand Ole Opry debut, I thought it would only be appropriate to do it. If I'm going to do it where country music got its start, I should do it with what song got my start, and which that is Country Bound. And it was on that Shine On Rainy Day album. So I invited Daddy to come sing that song that he wrote all those years ago on the Grand Ole Opry stage for my debut that year. And it was a really special moment.
Oh, my gosh. I can only imagine. And, you know, it's so funny because there's just something about daddies that when they worked their fingers to the bone, and your daddy had an opportunity to maybe live a dream, but he gave that up for his own family. And that's what a daddy does.
Well, we've always felt like part of the reason why I may have these opportunities that I've had over the past several years is because of him making the right decision. You know, so these are sort of blessings that are, you know, it's we're all very thankful and we never take for granted how blessed we all are, you know.
Brent Cobb, I know you also paused your own touring career when your daughter was born and you moved home to Georgia from Nashville to get near your family again. And was that a direct result of what you learned from your dad doing the same thing for you when you were young, do you think?
Maybe. I don't know if it was so much that as it was, we didn't move back until I had started touring again. And I got so busy, and it was just so much on my wife to be up here in Nashville where we didn't have any other family, really. And I wanted my daughter to kind of grow up like I did, you know, and in that same little country church and just around the little hometown community. And, yeah, it's been great. It's been great. Home has become not vacation, but it's sort of like vacation now because I go out and I go on the road and I work and then I come home and I'm home. You know, I don't have a whole lot to do. I've got a few boards I need to replace and stuff like that.
<That's> right. That.
For the most part, we get to kind of stretch out a little bit when I'm home.
There's another Southern ism, stretch out. It's another one.
Yes, sir.
That's about as Southern as it gets, stretch out. I love it. Gosh, I love it. Man, I'm telling you, I could talk about it because, my wife's from New York and she doesn't have, you know, she ain't got the same accent I do. She, as a matter of fact, she don't really even have an accent at all. And my son, and it breaks my heart a little bit that he ain't got no accent at all either. And it bothers me, man. I know that sounds insane, but it does.
Well, just bring him down down to Richland, Georgia, and drop him off for a couple weeks. He'll pick it up real quick, I bet.
Pick it right. I love it. You know, you talked about being out on the road. You got Chris Stapleton called you up, took you out on the road for nearly 3 years, as you mentioned. You know, what was that like? Because, I mean, Chris Stapleton, I mean, that's pretty much top of the top for country music right now. I mean, he's one of the biggest artists there is.
It was insane. It would have been amazing anyway, but it just so happened to be right when he blew up, right when that moment happened with Justin Timberlake at the CMA Awards. His wife, Morgan, is actually from Moultrie, Georgia, which is where my wife and I got married, and she was who invited me to come out for those first shows and got me. She loved that album, Shine on Rainy Day, and was kind enough to invite me out on the road. But, man, it was crazy. The first show we did with him was in 2016, and things were really starting to stir pretty good, but it was like small amphitheaters. And then as the years progressed, we saw it live happen, where it went from playing to 5,000 people to playing for 20,000 people. Mm-hmm. And just his show, you know, it's pretty much just a trio, and then it's a four-piece with his wife. Mm-hmm. And they don't do anything special. They just stand up there and play music, and it's something that I had already been going after it for 10 years. For those years, so many years, it was, you have to do it this way, and you got to dance, and you got to mm-hmm. entertain and all this. And I knew that you could just go out there and make music. And so to have somebody like Chris and see it work as well as it did and as big as it did, it gave someone like me, who has always just considered himself a songwriter, hope that, okay, I know this can work.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was pretty amazing.
It reminds me of George Strait on stage. George Strait don't dance around. George Strait gets up there with his guitar and sings the songs that everybody loves.
That's it. I'm a firm believer that if the song is great, it all starts with the song. And if it's great, then you can't mess it up.
Exactly right, man. Whiskey Myers recorded one of your songs that's on the show Yellowstone, which my wife and I, we watched the first episode, but that's the only one we could watch because we didn't have that Paramount Plus, and we didn't want to pay another subscription, so we only got to watch the one episode, but I hear it's terrific. That's what I'm told.
I actually just wrote with Luke Grimes the other day from that show.
Really?
And I'm glad I don't watch it because I'd have probably been starstruck.
Yeah.
So
that's funny. Well, how did they pick up your song and then include it? How'd that work out?
Well, I've known Whiskey Myers for a long, long time. They recorded a song called Bar Guitar in a Honky Tonk Crowd that I wrote when I was 16. And it's one of their biggest songs to this day. And I don't know, man. I really don't know how. I think after a while, once you've been doing it so long, people just kind of all of a sudden, they're like, oh, yeah, I know Brent. Oh, yeah, I know Brent, too.
There you go.
So they, you know, you just kind of creep into people's lives and then onto their network shows. And then on their Braves radio.
Yeah. Podcast. Yeah, I guess so, man. I tell you, it all runs together, right?
Just keep going.
Big old spider web.
It's all who you know, you know. I'm just trying to make friends out here.
That's exactly right. I know you got a big event at the Ryman in Nashville called Georgia on My Mind, and Amy Ray Indigo Girls comes out for that. It's a big fundraiser for the Georgia Music Foundation. That's my favorite thing is when people, they leave Georgia, but they don't leave behind who they are, and they represent the state of Georgia and the things that they love and that they know.
Absolutely. No, it's this is the third year that Amy and I have gotten to host that event. And the first year, of course, we had quarantine going on, so we did it live stream from Capricorn in Macon. And then we did a live event the next year, but this is the first year that we've been able to do it back at the Ryman. And the reason we choose the Ryman is because it's so a lot of the musicians that tour, they live in Nashville. And so if you do an event on a Tuesday, it's hard for a artist to say no.
If you're doing it, you corner them in.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you don't have an excuse. I know you can do this. I know you're around. But no, it benefits a music education in Georgia, and which is really important. Like, we began this conversation, you know, for me, I didn't have a whole lot going on. It's pretty bored sometimes, but music was always on the radio, or I was learning how to play it. And I think that it's important for rural kids like myself to have that outlet, you know, and be able to pick up an instrument. So that's what it benefits. We've raised over $600,000 over the last few years.
Goodness, impressive.
And it all goes to music education. Yeah.
The Georgia Music Foundation, they actually gave an award to one of our dear friends and Scott, one of Scott Munn's best friends, Kevin Kenney, at the show this year.
It's the Flame Keeper Award. And it goes to someone who's consistently and constantly represented the state of Georgia with, you know, obviously through Kevin's music. I remember as a kid listening to Driving and Crying, Kevin was one of the first songwriters that I really related to, because he wasn't necessarily considered country stylistically, but his lyrics were some of the country's lyrics it sounded like where I grew up at, you know. And so Kevin's just been, he's a legend. I mean, he can go anywhere and people know who Kevin Kenny is. He's been doing it for so long. So that award was presented to him because of that, because he's just stayed so consistent. Like you said, you know, you can lead the state of Georgia, but you can't get the state of Georgia out of your heart.
Yeah, you take the boy out of Georgia, but you ain't taking Georgia out of the boy.
Right.
Brent, I want to tell you, Kevin Kenny is so actually proud of that award. You know, he posted about it. He rarely posts on social media or whatever, but he did right away. And then it's right there on his mantle now with his Georgia Music Hall of Fame award and his gold record. So he's proud of that, man. And I think everybody appreciates you doing that. So thank you for putting that together.
Absolutely. Proud to do it.
And we're talking with Brent Cobb on the Braves Radio Network, and I wondered, before we talk about a couple other things and close out here, is there anything else about the Atlanta Braves you want to go on the record right here on the official Braves Radio Network? You know, I mean, you got a favorite Braves personal memory or a favorite moment in history?
Like I said, it's exciting to be a Braves fan or Georgia sports fan right now. Anyway, it feels like it was when I was a kid a little bit. And, yeah, the memory, if you could have seen our house in 95, the tension was thick. Mama from Cleveland, Betty from Georgia,
you know.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's about it, man. I just, you know, I feel very blessed to have grown up in the life I've had. And, you know, it's never lost on me. Yeah. I got to take my kids to a game, though. They've never gone yet. And I can't wait to take. Boy, Tuck is going to love it. He's three, and Lila will love it, too. But I'm really excited to take them to their first game one of these days.
Heck yeah, man. There's nothing better. I can remember the first ball game I ever took my son to. It was actually the very first game was the Chattanooga Lookouts game, because I'm from Northwest Georgia, up in Dalton. We were living up there at the time. But I remember the first Braves game, it was at Turner Field, and there was about the third inning, and believe it or not, even in Georgia, it was snowing, a little spitting snow that day. It was like it was the opening series, and just happened to have to land some tickets to go, and we get there, and it's freezing cold, and this line drive foul ball comes right at us. And I throw up my hand just enough to block the ball, because I was trying to catch it, but that thing was moving about 110 miles an hour, so I didn't get a good grip on it, as you might imagine. And my son still to this day gives me grief about it, because he wants to play baseball in college. He's about to turn 18, and he's like, you telling me you couldn't catch a foul ball? That's what you're telling me, Dad? Yeah, I'm telling you. But ain't nothing better than the kids and going to a Braves game. The other great thing is eating barbecue and local food. That's one thing that we always talk about on this podcast, the Braves Country Podcast, is where are your best places to grab something, meet and three, whether in Nashville, at home, or in the Southeast, barbecue or a meet and three that you love to go to?
All right, there's a place in Americus, Georgia, that I'm telling you now, I've traveled the world for a living for the last 16 years. The best home cooking in our country, for sure, is at Gladys's Kitchen in Americus, Georgia. They have a dessert. I don't know if you've ever had it. It's called a butter roll.
Uh-uh.
And it's like, I don't even know how to explain it to you. It's like, my wife had a bite her first time, and she's like, oh, my God, it's like little bites of heaven. And it's really good. And but also their turnip greens. I didn't like turnips growing up as a kid, and then the first time I had turnips from Gladys's, they taste like fried chicken or something. I'll just go to Gladys's and order a plate of turnips, and that's all I'll have. So Gladys's Kitchen, in Nashville, you got to go to Pepper Fire, in my opinion. I know there's a Hattie B's in Atlanta now with Nashville Hot Chicken. Hattie B's is good, but Pepper Fire is my go-to in Nashville. If anybody is on the road for a trip to Nashville, try to go to Pepper Fire. And also, their collard greens are the best collard greens I've ever had in my life. I guess I'm just going to name Southern cooking.
There you go. Ain't nothing wrong.
Try to find everyone.
Yeah.
And, well, you know, barbecue, man, you know how it is. Everybody's I grew up with the Kinchafuni Wildlife Club, and which was my dad is a member of, and they make their own barbecue, and I grew up shopping for barbecue sales. And so that's my favorite barbecue, which you can purchase at the Kitchifunu Wildlife Club in Webster County.
That's a good day right there. Have you ever been to Brown's Diner? I bring this up occasionally. There's only a few people know about Brown's Diner in Nashville.
Yeah, I've been to Brown's Diner once or twice. We actually went to Brown's Diner to start my bachelor trip the year I got married.
That boy.
And so I don't have very clear memories of Brown's Diner.
It's a trailer, I know that.
I've been there. It is a trailer. They serve beer and they definitely have hot dogs.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, they do. It's good living.
It's a staple, though.
It is good living. Sir. Ain't no doubt about it.
What about Sweat's Soul Food on the west side over there? You ever been to Sweat?
I was going to mention Sweat's, but I had to mention Gladys's first. But, yes, if you're in Nashville, I highly recommend going to Sweat's. It's been a Nashville staple since the 50s. Cafeteria style. You can always get fried chicken. You can always get gravy.
Yes, sir.
And, it's not a days of the week thing. They got everything every day.
Yeah.
And also Wendell Smith's in Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
Looking for some good down home country cooking. Wendell Smith's is also a
and just the vibe in there too. It's so thing. It's like stepping into the past.
Old school.
Wendell Smith's there.
Yeah, it feels like you walked straight into 86 or something.
Yeah, and I think the prices are still kind of 86.
They changed. That's right. They write their menu out every day too on a little piece of paper.
I love places like that, man. It's been so great talking to you. I certainly appreciate you taking the time out to speak with us and hang with us. And we're big fans, both Scott and I, man. South of Atlanta is one of my favorite songs. It's one of my favorite all time songs. Made my wife from New York. I was like, you need to listen to this song because this kind of describes the way I feel about living in the state of Georgia. And I hope you'll come by here by the Braves Radio Network studios here at the Battery Atlanta at Truist Park. And, man, bring a guitar, maybe pick a couple songs and just hang.
Absolutely. Thank y'all very much for having me. I would love to.
Yeah, and folks, make sure you get Brent Cobb's new Southern Gospel album, and now let's turn the page. Go to his website right now, BrentCobbMusic.com. All the links are there.
And make sure you see him on tour, stopping north of Atlanta in my hometown of Alpharetta, Georgia. Check out the rest of the tour dates on BrentCobbMusic.com. Brent Cobb, thank you so much for joining us. You're officially part of the Braves Country Podcast family, and you know you're welcome back anytime.
Thank y'all. Looking forward to it. Y'all take care.
You
thank
too, buddy.
Thank you very much.
You, man.
All right, man. Go Braves.
Go Braves. Go Dogs.
Attaboy. Attaboy. See you, bud.
Take care.
This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today. 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast. Braves Country also sponsored by Smith's Old Bar, best live music venue in Atlanta since 1994, located in the heart of Midtown at 1578 Piedmont Avenue. Smith's Old Bar is a neighborhood joint for everyone. Check out smithsoldbar.com for the current concert calendar and tickets. See y'all at Smith's.
Braves Country supports the Warrior Alliance and the Shepherd's Men, two phenomenal veteran organizations based in the South. Check out thewarrioralliance.org and shepherdsmen.com for more info and resources. That's thewarrioralliance.org and shepherdsmen.com. Braves Country would like to thank all of our nation's great veterans.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
A lifetime of hard work, children laughing in the kitchen, family photos on a restaurant wall, a legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation, like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.